Hello, my beautiful bestie. How are we doing today?
Hello, Melissa Rose. We are doing well. I'm happy to be here with you as always.
I know, me too. Has it been a month?
It feels like it's been longer than a month, actually, where it's just you and me doing our, you know, happy routine.
No, I think it's literally been a month because the last time it was you and I recording from our respective homes.
Mm-hmm.
It was right before I went away, which would have been about a month ago.
Too long. Way too long. So I'm very, very elated to be here with you today.
Me too. I really feel like gearing up for this because it's been segmented thus far. I felt like we were like meeting up for coffee or something. Like I was so excited. Like, oh, I can't wait to get on. I'm excited about the topic today, but I'm mostly just excited to sit and chat with you.
Same. The feeling is so mutual, truly. Mm-hmm. So mutual. Where are we reporting live from today, Melissa Rose?
I am reporting live from flow state.
Ooh, tell me more about that.
I should be feeling less flow state this week. We have a lot going on. Mike is away for like 6 days on a business trip.
It's a long trip.
I was not aware it was going to be as long as it was until last Friday, aka 2 days before he left. So needless to say, I didn't handle that well.
Yeah.
But
you weren't expecting that to happen.
No. No, it wasn't really like anyone's fault. I think we just were moving at 100 miles an hour. Maybe he said something, maybe he didn't. Calendar wasn't updated properly, whatever it might be. Neither here nor there. But I, pulled out my toolkit and I was like, what do I need to set myself up for success? And I knew it was going to be, 4 to 5 days away. So I was already kind of gearing up for that. And knew I was going to need, some pickup and drop off help with commuting days and things like that. But then knowing, we were going to be going well into Saturday evening.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't really know how I pull this off.
It's a long haul. It's really not a sprint at that point. It's a marathon.
Exactly. And with that, I called in the reserves and called my mom.
Yeah.
And
Mama.
Literally Friday night. And I said, what are you doing next week, Tuesday to Saturday? if you are available, I will be buying you plane tickets to come help me. Help, please.
You asked for help and she delivered.
Yes. Yes. So I'm really excited. She's actually going to be arriving within like an hour of us recording today. It'll be really fun. We have lots of fun plans.
share one of those fun plans because I'm really excited for you.
I'm moving rooms around at my house.
Hell yeah, you are.
I'm really excited. We're going to just kind of like jigsaw the place up. And I'm selling furniture. I'm kind of going rogue a little bit, but when the cat's away, the mice will play.
That's it. That is it.
That's what we're going to do.
You get that like energetic vibe that fuels more energetic vibes when you start like rejiggering spaces around your house.
Exactly.
So I'm very happy that you will get to experience that. And with your mom, like what a fun, that's your play this week.
Oh, 100%. 100%. It's my play this week. I'm so excited. So she'll be here soon. And yeah, so flow state is activated out of a place of accessing my tools and I'm almost on the other side of my cold from last week. Still sound a little congested, but
do you need a tissue?
No, I don't. Okay. It's like it's just the sound,
it
just sounds that way.
You're doing great. But good for you for accessing your toolkit. That's the whole reason why we work so hard to fill them so we can use them when we're faced with situations.
Exactly.
That's the whole point.
Listeners, we just had to pause because Melissa's ADD is really having a hard time right now. were pixely and Michelle wasn't centered on the screen. And I was having a really hard time focusing. So we're going to regroup. Where are you reporting live from today, Miss Michelle?
Oh, great question. I'm reporting live from a pretty zen state, even though it's election day. And even though there are limited resources of support this week on my end, I am still feeling at ease and pretty zen. Actually, what is helping is this amazing gift that I got from my other beautiful bestie who visited us this past weekend, Katie, and her husband, Todd, and their little girl. They brought us this amazing lamp that is a candle warmer. So you get the scent of a candle without the smoke and the flame.
Incredible.
It's amazing and it's cute. Like, it looks cute. It's not chuggy. So thanks for that. But it's setting the vibe right now. And sometimes all you need is just like a sense to be activated.
100%.
To feel anchored. And that really helped me today in my office. So that's where I'm reporting live from.
Wow. I love that. I definitely need a link because that sounds like something that I need. I actually also just got these. It's going to be a tangent. A while ago, before I even had dogs, I heard that essential oils are very toxic to dogs because there's certain like chemicals in them that their livers can't process, and it's like extremely toxic to them.
Scary.
Yeah, very scary. So who doesn't love good like essential oil diffusers and this and that? And I always used to say up until like a week ago, we can't have anything like that in our house because of the dogs. And as you can imagine, I have lived here for almost 6 years with dogs for five of them. Now I have a little child. Like, our house could use some scents. Yes. Some odor masking would be great. Yes.
So you need this, but safely. Yes.
Exactly. And then I just recently discovered last week that not all essential oils have those toxins in them. You can have clean essential oils that are not toxic. I don't know the exact term, but say it's like PFCUs or whatever. Like, if they're free of that, then it is healthy for your pets. It's also okay for your children, your baby, whatnot.
Yeah.
I didn't know that that existed. So I bought these cool plug-in essential oil diffusers, not like a Glade plug-in, like truly non-toxic, clean. And they plug right into the wall. They're very aesthetic looking. And you just put an essential oil insert in that they come with. And it's smart. So you can hook it up to your phone. It's a little app.
Love it.
And you can control the intensity or like when they go on and off and whatnot. So I got it a week ago. I haven't used it yet. But I've been very excited to unbox it.
I think this is going to be a part of your ongoing play this week. It will be. It's not Pura, is it?
No, it's Era, I think.
Something akin to that, that you can control it. But the clean side of the oils is, that's great. That is great. So sometimes all you need is just a little scent. That's a part of my self-TLC umbrella today, too. So I'm really loving it. So thank you, Katie and Todd. And actually, Todd's going to come on the pod.
I'm so excited. I can't wait to hear more about this. We haven't debriefed since you spoke with him, but I can't wait. I think it's at the beginning of the new year.
Yes. He's going to kick off our guests of 2025 and talk about his awesome brand and company. And I'm really excited. So yeah, more to come on that. But it was really lovely to just co-parent with friends for the weekend, very similar to what we got to do last weekend, which was also co-parent while our husbands were on a boys' trip together.
It was amazing. I'm still reeling from it, like in a good way. I've said this to you 100 times that weekend and following, like, it healed parts of my inner child.
I love you.
It did. I didn't want to leave. Ryan got home and I hung out for another hour and a half with my daughter. And I was like, so that was the trip. Like, Mike was at home. Love you, Mike, so much. I wasn't avoiding coming home to our home. I just felt so safe and like so happy and at peace and zen. I just really didn't want to leave.
We didn't want you to leave either. And I'm so glad that you felt that way. It's just, it was great. It was so, so wonderful.
For anyone that does not have children or has young children that are like less than a year old, and you see on Instagram or TikTok these reels that people put up about like, it's supposed to be like nostalgic and or inspiring about having young kids with your friends. And you might be sitting there like, there's no way it's actually like that. I'm telling you, there is something so amazing about being together while parenting. And it doesn't need to be something special. It doesn't need to be these like over the top experiences, like literally just being in the playroom together with your kids. Yes. And whether it's seeing a cute moment happen between them or just being together and riding the wave together.
Oh, it's the best.
It's truly to date one of my most favorite things I've gotten to experience in life is just being
so true.
A parent with your friends. Mm-hmm. Like it's the best.
It gives me the same feeling like the day before your birthday, you know, like, well, when you were younger, you would get like this excited feeling. And as I've gotten older, that slowly has dialed down. Yeah. But I get that feeling when I'm with close friends like you and like Katie, as I mentioned before, when you get to just be a parent. And not all moments are sunshine and rainbows. Like there's going to be tantrums. There's going to be tears. There's going to be this. But you're just, as you said, riding the wave together. And in person, I loved this phrase that you said, like, let's just keep with the momentum, right? Like, I loved that. And I have continued to whip that out of my back pocket in so many times because, you know, my rigid, structured self. But at the same time, it's such a good reminder, like, as you are parenting solo or with a best friend or with your partner, like, just keep with the momentum.
I can't take credit for it. It's a term Victoria taught me. And she, I believe her dad is the one that kind of coined it, which anyone that knows Bob knows that like that would be something that Bob says. It's so amazing. And it makes me smile when I say it. But it is really key for people like you and I, especially who tend to be more rigid and routine oriented, or particularly like you and Mike. And sometimes, most of the time, actually, especially at the age that they are, especially dealing with two little ones like you are, it's the routine and structure is really, really important. It really, really, really is. And then there are times where if you're pushing against the momentum and you're saying, no, 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 like, you know, everyone's having a great time, but nope, it's bedtime. Yep. We have to start the bedtime routine. It could actually backfire, right? Yes. Because maybe it's okay if it's 30 minutes later tonight. Everyone seems to still have energy. We're not seeing the signs of the meltdown coming. Exactly. We're not, you know, and sometimes it can happen quick, but sometimes just moving with the momentum, it proves to be effective.
It totally does. And it actually is directly connected to a think about that I have for our episode today, which what are we taking on today, Melissa Rose?
Pressure.
Ooh, pressure. Lots of takes on this. This is our take on it. But as we think of pressure, whether it's pressure we put on ourselves or pressure that we're feeling from others or society or all of the above, we'll get to that in a moment. We have to think about swimming downstream with the momentum versus swimming upstream against it. So you got to meet yourself where you are. And I think that that sits adjacent to the concept of pressure in so, so many ways.
It is part of it. I mean, like, I can't think of pressure without thinking about that. Mm-hmm. Right? And again, naming it to tame it, having a term or an underlying concept to conceptualize why we're feeling a certain way or what it means. And we'll get more into this later, but it can be hugely helpful and profound.
Game changer.
On your journey.
It's a game changer. But anyway, loved our sleepover together. We were with the morning sun. Ugh. Be with the morning sun.
It was so great. It was so good. I miss it.
Oh, we're going to schedule another one. Please. We will.
I think I'm going to have to move. I think I have to move closer. Period.
In our guest room. You're going to move in our guest room.
Yes.
You're more than welcome.
That's it. I could be your au pair, but I'm going to bring my whole family. And I can't provide any support.
Well, we can be a blended friendship.
Yay! Family.
I like that. Two truths, no lies. You go first.
Okay, I'll make mine quick. I really will. This is, and forgive me, I might have spoken a bit about this during our martinis recording, which you guys will have the pleasure of listening to in a few weeks. But I'm going to bring it back up here again because I'm a little conflated on what we talked about online and offline that night as a result of the martinis. But I think this was there. So my two truths and a lies really falls into where I am right now in this flow state of this week. And then also where we found ourselves after our sleepover last week. In the newborn phase, when you have a child, and I'm just going to say like under 1 year old, let's say, especially when it's your first, in my experience, help and support is huge, right? It's huge. And it's a learning curve of whether you're talking about asking for it or learning when you need it and all the things we talk about in our asking for help episode and just in general that we are constantly speaking to. And when you think about your, in my situation, my partner not being around because it might be work or commuting or our schedules day to day, it's really easy. Or for a while, I thought it's, well, I want you here because I need help, right? Like when you're not here, me wanting you here is because of the help, because of the support. And as my daughter's gotten older, I feel like I still want that. Like I have this feeling of like, I want you here. But like I felt my intentions weren't in alignment with my actions almost because I got it. Like, yeah, it's busy and you know, it can be a little chaotic navigating our schedules and doing all the things we're doing on those solo days, right? But like, I don't really need help. What I need and what I want is togetherness. So it brought me to this two truths, no lies, because you and I were talking about this and how, you know, we both have husbands that commute and we both do days where we're solo and we're rolling through the motions and it's physically demanding on our bodies because we have large children that we have to pick up and put down and we're running after them and you have 18,000 steps and you haven't left your house for the day. Like, it's a lot.
I'm just remembering when I showed you my Apple Watch.
Literally. You're like, yeah, I haven't even... I barely left the house today and I have 18,000 steps. Like, that's insane.
It's absurd.
There's a physical demand on us and on anyone caring for children. But like, I'm in a flow state right now. And it felt so weird when I'd be asking my husband to be home for, try and get home for dinner or try and stay home for breakfast or do, like, I felt like I was asking for something, but I hated that I was asking for it because I'm capable. I can do it. It's not that I need the help. And it wasn't until I really sat down and thought about it. And it's like, it's actually not the help or support I want. It's the fact that, like, this isn't what I signed up for. I didn't picture 5 days a week being passing ships in the night and, like, teaming and tag teaming on who is going to be with our daughter at what time. What I pictured was being a family. And number one, carving out space that, like, you gave me permission to think about this even on a deeper scale, because we always are in the assumption umbrella and we always talk about this here where you see people doing certain things and you assume what that situation is. And I assumed, as one of your best friends, as your business bestie, is talking 24/7, that, like, you were doing this too. Right? You were just managing and you weren't asking for anything more. And when you made visible to me actually what your day-to-day looks like and when your husband's not there for dinner, he's there for breakfast or vice versa. And it gave me permission to think, oh, so that's not that absurd of that I'm feeling like, hey, this doesn't really feel like what I signed up for or what we signed up for. And again, so the two truths and lies of it all, bringing it back, is I can do this on my own, but I don't want to do this on my own. So we cannot need help in certain moments. We can reach a point of flow state and not need the help, but want the togetherness. And that's my two truths, no lies for today. Again, naming things is so incredibly powerful. And when I realized that's actually what I was asking for, it empowered me to ask for it in the right way, because I actually knew what I was really wanted, what was the done goal.
Yes.
And it eliminated the pressure and the guilt and all of the other things that I was feeling when asking for more, because now I knew what I was asking for.
And what a reframe that is, and integrating it with pressure. You weren't picturing what was happening. And that misalignment gave you everything you needed to get to where you are and realize that the togetherness needs to be prioritized. You got it. You sure do. Not only are you doing it, you're doing a great job at it.
Thank you.
But because you're welcome. But the fact of the matter is, that's what give and take is in a marriage. If something is not aligned with what you are picturing within your family system, make it visible and hold both of you accountable together to follow suit.
Exactly.
And a step further too, and we talked a little bit about this as well, when you are together, really be together. Make the dinner table or the breakfast table a no phone zone. It was so cute this morning because I've been really leaning on that language of, oh, our table's a no phone zone. Table's a no phone zone. And my 4-year-old had like a pretend Spider-Man cell phone and he got up and he's like, oh, the table's a no phone zone, and went and put it away. Right. So that, but that's obsessed. A part of it, right? Yeah. Like the togetherness, but what does together actually look like and feel like? And does that align with what you are picturing in the here and the now? So important. Well, Mel, thank you for sharing that. Again, we always love our conversations, whether they're recorded or not. And I'm just so grateful that I have you as a girlfriend to kind of chat about all of these things with as we move through the phases, right? That's what it's all about. So, two truths, no lies, a little bit of a left turn, but will take us to what we're taking on today, which is pressure.
Great.
Just to paint the scene, I'm at the sink. It's a solo evening on my end, meaning my husband Ryan is in the city and I was by myself feeding the boys, putting them down, all the above. And I'm washing the lunch boxes because I make a rule for myself that while I'm getting dinner together, I will wash the lunch boxes. So it's one less thing that I have to do later in the evening. I'm washing the lunch boxes. And my little guy, my 1.5-year-old, is at my legs whining, like wanting to clearly be picked up. Up. And my 4-year-old is sitting at the kitchen table and he said my youngest's name, like, so-and-so, don't forget, mommy is just one person. She's doing the best she can.
Stop.
And I have said those words so many times, but hearing it be punted back to me in that moment, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm gonna cry. But I responded by saying, two truths, no lies. And then I said both of their names. First truth, I am only one person. Second truth, I am doing the very best that I can. And that's all I needed in that very instance to just name it, again, the power of naming it, so I could move on to the next moment. Because I felt myself kind of, as I was listening to my littlest say, up, 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 like I was disassociated. I was like, where am I? I'm starting to bubble up inside. Yeah. Like, oh, I can't, there's too many radio stations on at once. And, you know, it's funny because it dovetails into pressure, because in that instance, was the pressure that I was feeling coming from me? Was it coming from someone else? Was it pressure that I was putting on myself that I shouldn't be washing the lunchboxes in that moment and I should pick up my littlest guy because that's what he was asking? Is it someone else's pressure that is being put on me and then it manifests as something else inside? I mean, it's very, very loaded, but it does dovetail into what we're taking on today. And we really wanted to make sure this episode was right around the holiday season to emotionally vaccinate us and our listeners to just carve out space before you're in the doom hotel.
Literally.
Because it's a lot. It's a lot coming our way, which is why we needed to talk about it.
thank you so much for sharing, first of all, on your two truths, because that A is so wholesome. Like, that is the done goal.
It's the done goal.
And it just paints the picture of why we say these things out loud and yes. why when you have a toddler who really can't communicate with you yet and you yes. say these things out loud and you create – it's because when they are 4 years mm-hmm. old, they will be punting that back to
they
you.
Will.
But
they
also will. They'll be – that's his language. Like, he wasn't just repeating what yeah. you said.
He believed it.
He believed it. He saw something happening and he not only was trying to comfort his brother, he was comforting you in that moment too. And how beautiful is that?
I actually need to carve out space to tell you the second part of the conversation because it's amazing. I said after it, I was like, remember, I can only do one thing, two truths. And I said, but you know what I can do? I can do a couple different things at one time. And that's loving you. And that's loving my littlest guy. And I pointed to him. And that's loving daddy. I could do all of those things at one time. And my four-year-old looked at me and he said, and mommy, you can love yourself too at the same time.
I'm gonna cry.
And I was like, I'm done. I'm done. Like, I'm done.
Stop.
Goodbye.
I'm yeah. Like, oh my God.
And talk about pressure on self. Like, yes, that is it.
Yeah.
You can do all of those things at once.
Oh my God. That is beautiful. So beautiful. I love him so much.
He's such a little golden child in that regard.
He really is. Oh my gosh. Just, what an angel.
But to your point and why I wanted to share it, yeah. you know, the day you plant the seeds, not the day you eat the fruit. Mm. Like, he's heard me say that, but this is the first time he regurgitated it back to me. And clearly it was swirling around. He gave me what I needed, so I wasn't putting so much pressure on myself, yeah. too.
Oh, my gosh, how beautiful. In the healthiest of ways.
Yeah. Yes.
Right?
Of course.
Right?
Of course.
Worth noting. Small yes. little asterisk fine print. This is a healthy version of that.
Correct. It's always – there's always a balance.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. Well, no, I think to your point, this is an incredible segue into taking on pressure. As you mentioned, we got to carve out the space before we're at
yes.
the Doom Hotel because mm-hmm. I fell victim of this last year in that I refused to succumb to the stress of the holiday season. I will not be that parent. I will not let it get the best of me. I will not turn the holidays into something that is anything but magical.
How'd that go for you?
Not well.
Oh, no way. Shocker.
Not well. Because you know what? I didn't name entertainment.
You stuffed.
I stuffed. And it's the same thing of the first real vacation we went on right at the beginning of this podcast. And just, I don't want to be that version of myself. I don't want to be that mm-hmm. version of, you know, the moms. And to your point of like, before you check into the Doom Hotel, right? Like, there's yeah. this narrative of the pressure that exists at mm-hmm. holidays and blah, blah, blah. And I just hated that. I didn't want to inherit this idea that, like, I have to be a martyr for the holidays mm. and that I have to carry this weight. Like, I don't want to subscribe to that. And I still don't want to.
Yeah.
There's an in-between that we can carve out here in that let's just be a little self-aware.
Yes.
And let's think about all of the things that exist in these next 2 months ahead of us and mm. how can we best, to your language, emotionally vaccinate ourselves mm-hmm. so that
– Dr. Becky's language.
Yes.
Sorry.
Dr. Becky's –
got to give credit
yes,
where credit's
sorry.
Due.
Dr. Becky's language that you just used, how can we best equip ourselves so that mm-hmm. when we inevitably do become overwhelmed, become stressed, become overtired, all the things that are going to happen, how can we put our best foot forward?
Totally.
And one of the major pieces of this is understanding – where this pressure comes from.
Yes.
And take it from here, Michelle. What?
Yeah.
Let's talk about pressure. Let's just high level, 10,000.
Love it. We believe in having a common definition that we're working under to understand what is pressure, just at baseline concretely from the dictionary. So pressure is a noun, a person, place, thing, or idea. Mm-hmm. And it's also a verb, something that is being done. The ing part, right? So when you look at pressure as a noun, It's the force exerted on an object or the influence used to persuade someone. So for example, the pressure of a deadline. Pressure as a verb, to pressure, means to apply force or influence or to persuade or coerce. For example, she was pressured into making a decision. So if we're looking at these definitions, now we can really get granular and drop a little concrete grenade on this. Mm-hmm. Let's make the invisible of pressure visible. Who is giving the pressure to oneself? Is it coming from yourself? Is it coming from a peer? Think about the first time you heard about peer pressure, mm-hmm. way back when. If so-and-so's going to jump off the bridge, are you going to do it too? Right? How many times did you hear that? So when you think about like how you first learned about it, then that also allows you to think about your relationship with it now. And is it pressure that you're putting on yourself? Or like I said before, is it pressure that's coming from somebody else that you're then inheriting? And maybe it's not pressure that's inside of you, but it's manifesting that way because of something that was coming from an external factor. So there's a lot that we can talk about here. I've said a lot. I want you to touch on that before we kind of talk about how we can navigate it, acknowledge it, permit it, and then ways that we can not circumvent the pressure because it's going to exist, but how we can navigate it a little bit more easily as we head into this season of the holidays.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Look at that. I mean, you're just so brilliant.
Stop.
I think the first piece of this is really taking inventory, as we like to say, but mm-hmm. taking inventory of how you experience that pressure and where that comes from to that yes. point. There are concrete examples of pressure that we can't control, mm-hmm. right? To your point of the deadlines or school assignments that need to get done for our children, which is a very interesting thing I'm learning about at this time.
Like, we'll circle back to that.
So much homework for my child. And like, I don't have time. anyway, there's pressure that exists outside of that self-pressure, where I think is where we're really going to end up leaning on today. Mm-hmm. But I want to acknowledge and carve out that space because that is a real thing. So yes. when we talk about pressure in terms of deadlines, we have work, mm-hmm. we have schedule-oriented pressure. So your timeline for the day and getting yep. things through the door, out the door, in the door, all of the things. And then there's the mental load pressure, not the self-imposed, but the actual things that have to get done, whether it's daily, monthly, annually. Mm-hmm. At this time of year, that is extremely condensed.
Yes. In a pressure cooker.
In a pressure cooker. You have travel that needs to be booked. You have things that need to be ordered for that travel if you're going away. You have holiday shopping. You have holiday plans. The amount of people, and I appreciate this because it serves me actually. So this is not a diss, but it truly felt like this year, the way that Halloween fell, right? It was the 31st on a Thursday.
Yes.
Friday and Saturday, the amount of text messages that I received that were holiday oriented about making plans, making gift lists. It's like every, and I don't want to generalize, but mostly women, some mm-hmm. men. But it was like every woman I knew was waiting until November 1st to be yes. like, hey, okay, so can we talk about when we're going to schedule this? Because no one wants to be that person that's talking about the holidays before Halloween.
Right.
But
right.
like the reality is we got to get this moving. And so there's all of that. That's not self-imposed.
No.
That is actual pressure that we are inheriting and holding on to and navigating daily.
Yes.
Specifically over these next 2 months.
Oh, and on top of everything else that's on right. your plate.
On literally. October 15th, I had a ton of things I was thinking about
right.
that I still have to think about daily now that it's November 2nd on top of right. all these other things.
Right, right. So, of course, you know, conversations like this, so helpful because you just acknowledge it. You validate it. We give ourselves permission. But I think taking it a step further, not to debunk the pressure, mm-hmm. but how can we, as you say, make the pressure maybe 1 to 5% less than it could be. And if we're just using the holidays as one example of it, do you have something tangible or concrete to share that you do, Melissa, that could help make the pressure 1 to 5% less?
Yeah, I think one, it's a little bit more meta, but one thing that I have just recently discovered and is proving to be extremely effective, and I'm very grateful I stumbled upon this prior to the holidays, assessing where your pressure comes from. So then you are able to categorize it effectively. So I discovered in a moment recently that my pressure is guilt-induced. So when I am feeling really stressed, really overwhelmed, I would just feel this sense of stress and overwhelmed. And I'm just juggling a bunch of balls, blah, 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 blah. Something happened where I realized in that moment, in a state of zen, in a state of peace, when objectively the day should not have led me to that state because there was a lot of things going on. I realized it was because I had eliminated a sense of guilt. As I have gotten older, I have realized that in the many domains of our life that we are navigating, whether it's work, our relationships, our families, our raising children, parenting, with every year comes one more person or category to disappoint. And as you are constantly juggling all of these different things in your life, there is always going to be a sacrifice you're having to make, small and big. So feeling, honestly, perpetually guilty from day to day, hour to hour, about that sacrifice I am making in that moment to make an active choice of being present on the task at hand is an incredible amount of pressure.
Yes.
So naming, for me, it's guilt. So naming, okay, right now in this moment, I am feeling extremely stressed, extremely overwhelmed. I am feeling an incredible amount of pressure related to these three things. If guilt is what's underlying all of that, if guilt's really were the foundation of it all, I have a few paths forward here. Which is the one that is going to leave me the least amount guilty, not the least amount stressed, not the least amount overwhelmed, not the most immediate gratification on I get this task done? What is going to leave me feeling the least amount guilty? And that's the path forward I take because that is how I keep my head above water. And this was a huge thing for me. So applying this to the holidays and applying this to pressure, we have a lot of self-imposed pressure around the holiday season, particularly as parents wanting to make it as beautiful and magical as we possibly can. And also, outside of the holidays, my number one thing that I really work on every day is being present and ensuring that I am the best version of myself for my daughter and my family. So trying to balance this idea of making this as magical and amazing and perfect as possible, and also knowing that I need to remain present and not have the top fly off the lid.
In your pressure cooker.
In my pressure cooker. Those are two really conflicting needs going on at once.
Yes.
So what path forward eliminates the most guilt? And to be honest, it's a good level setter because I can pull that lever and say, you know what? Magic and beauty and the warmth of the holidays is actually a lot less than we think it needs to be. Me being present and me being calm and sturdy to the best of my ability is actually what's going to make me feel less guilty all in all.
Yeah.
And that was my big mistake last year, honestly, is because I really was pushing forward to not fly off the handle, not do this, not do this, not do this, not do this. And it creates this pressure cooker. And then it was this after guilt of I didn't handle it the way I wanted to. I wasn't able to be present the way I wanted to. I wasn't able to do this. Objectively, I created the magic. I checked all those boxes, but I was left feeling guilty because I didn't achieve that overarching goal of being present and enjoying it with my family.
Oh, and kind of pulling it from your two truths, no lies about togetherness. and removing the guilt or acknowledging the guilt proactively. But then the reframe of thinking about it ahead of time, well, what does the togetherness over the holidays actually look like? Mm-hmm. And you're able to picture it and drive the sensory bus and take a snapshot of what that feels like. Mm-hmm. And as long as you're hitting on those things within the realm of staying present, then you're not going to feel guilty about it.
Yeah.
Or maybe you are feeling something and it's not guilt and you're able to name that in a different way. But that is a very meta take on how to kind of navigate the pressure, which I absolutely love. So thank you for sharing that and opening up, you know, your vulnerable heart and mind with us. And the beauty of us is I have a different take on it that's not as meta. It's more concrete.
Yeah.
And it leans into the power of chunking. And I think it still will sit adjacent to what you shared, but looking at the ability to chunk something. So in the special education world, when I say that, think about a task that requires multiple steps or multiple directions. And you're breaking the task up essentially into smaller, more manageable parts. And when you're able to do that, it subsequently feels less overwhelming. And then there's subsequently less pressure. And then there's subsequently less guilt associated with it if you do or don't meet that per se. So with that acknowledging, that comes a very intense level of forward thinking and forward planning and executive mm-hmm. skills. But the idea around breaking something up into a smaller, more manageable task allows you to achieve it. And that feels really good, as we know and as we've talked about before. So let's make it concrete as it relates to the holiday season. I am one of those ladies who fits into, I see November 1st, I'm ready to rock and roll. Let's look at the next 2 months. I'm going to order one Christmas gift a week. So by the time Thanksgiving rolls around, I pretty much have everything I need. And then I can focus on phase two of wrapping it. I'm going to wrap one present a week. So come Christmas Eve or the day before Christmas Eve, I'm not like, oh my God, the pressure to make everything look beautiful and this and that, right? So that's just one concrete idea of turning something that requires multiple different steps and breaking it up into smaller, more manageable, more achievable parts. So I don't feel that pressure and subsequent guilt and stress.
Mm-hmm.
What does that bring up for you or what resonates?
I think it's incredible. I also know that I have an issue with immediate gratification. And when I have a task list.
Yes.
Of 8,000 things that I need to get done. I'm going to go to the thing that I can get done first.
Yeah.
And if I have to put even the tiniest bit of thought into something, it's probably not going to be the first thing that I can get done. That being said, for anyone who functions a little bit more pressure-oriented than I do, taking your tools here, taking that very concrete example, I have a notepad in my phone mm-hmm. where it's just like a holiday gift tracker.
Yes.
And it's sitting down, taking it in like just a list of the people that you have to get gifts for that for this year. And if I see something on Instagram, at the store, or think of something in my head, and I don't have the time to actually sit and order that, I put it down on the list.
Yes.
As a reminder. And this is like, everyone's probably listening like, yeah, okay, duh, I have a list too. That being said, having that list and then combining that with your strategy here, it actually doesn't take as much time now. Because I have carved out that, do you get as specific as like who you're ordering the gifts for? Or is this specific for the kids and it's like each week?
Mainly for the kids. But yes, I look at the list. So the gift is already on there. And I know like I'm going to get one for this person and one for this person. Again, mainly the kids. Mm-hmm. And I go and I do it. And timing something is also a really helpful strategy mm-hmm. too. Because it takes 5 minutes.
I know.
Not even. But then in 2 months, it's a gift to future self.
Yeah, exactly.
And when you time it, it makes it very concrete.
Exactly. So that's extremely concrete and helpful in relation to the things that need to get done ahead of the holidays, right? Whether it's buying the gifts or wrapping the gifts, it's a lot. Do you have anything concrete in regards to the pressure of making it magical? Oh. We as parents, and even before having children, there's a lot of needs you're balancing. You're balancing your own. You're balancing that of your families, your extended family, your parents, the grandparent, like everyone.
I'm going to punt it back and we're going to have this conversation. What does it look like and feel like to have a magical Christmas morning? For me, it's the look on my kid's face of just knowing that, did Santa come? And guess what? How does Santa come, right? Like, we make sure that there's, you know, some gifts. But it doesn't have to be 5,000 gifts under the tree. Like, just the mere fact that there's some gifts under the tree light up my kids' faces. That's all we need. So it's the feeling. It's the intrinsic part of it, not the extrinsic materialistic part of it for me that creates the magic. It's really, again, the unspoken part of the just being together is enough. That's the magic. If you're not together, you don't have that. What is it for you?
It's funny as you say that. So I host Christmas Eve, and that is my favorite night of the year. It was always my favorite holiday, so I was so happy to take it on. It's really huge in my family because we lived by my dad's family growing up and they're Italian. So it was like dinner of the seven fish and feast of the seven fishes, whatever. And growing up, it was my absolute favorite night of the year, going to my grandparents and celebrating that. And it was the kickoff, right? It felt like the kickoff of Christmas. It was a kickoff of winter break. It was the kickoff of it all, which really did center around togetherness. My dad would be home from work. No one would be working. It was just you stayed home. It was unstructured family time. You're in your pajamas, you know, whatever.
It's so a feeling.
It's a feeling. And it was this idea of that Christmas Eve kicked it off. So now that I host Christmas Eve, and I have ever since we moved into our home way before we had children, I think for me, the amount of pressure I put on Christmas Eve, and again, it's not that extrinsic. It's I want that to be the kickoff. And but it's not just for myself, my husband, my daughter. It's for everyone we're hosting because a lot of them are my family and then they're Mike's family too. But wanting to emulate that kickoff feeling that I felt. And there was a lot about it. It was a formal sit-down dinner and I've evolved it over the years, but really wanted to keep like some core sentiments to it. And last year, the first year having my daughter there, afterwards, I realized this is not conducive to me being able to achieve also being present and also enjoying. And like, it's just not. And this is going to have to evolve and not maybe forever, but for right now, in order for me to be able to wake up on Christmas morning and emulate exactly what you just said.
Yes.
It's not about what you're opening. It's about being together and being in our pajamas. And again, the kickoff to the holiday season for a lot of people is like Thanksgiving. For me, it's really Thanksgiving, kind of, but it's Christmas Eve. And then that week together, that is really for me what the holidays are. And that is part of the releasing pressure from myself and having to do the dinner of the seven fish. And this year, we're not doing anything sit down and we're going to have it fully catered and we're just going to completely mix up what it looks like, but everyone's still going to come and it's going to be great and we're all going to be together and it's going to work for the current phase and stage that we're in our lives. And it's going to be a way in order for me to achieve that feeling the next day.
And your two truths, no lies from a couple episodes ago was maybe you're just a synonym.
Yeah.
You need to look for your synonym of the holiday experiences to sit next to where you are in your phase and stage. Acknowledge what you're picturing based on what your past experiences were and what happened last time, because that was not what you wanted or pictured for you or anyone around you. And now you're able to be very intentional about copying something, but pasting out the synonym of what works best for you right now. That in and of itself, or that way of thinking in a meta way, also helps relieve a little bit of pressure, in my opinion.
And I think before we wrap up on this, I think it's really also important that we're identifying proper boundaries, because that that's a big part of it too. I think a lot of the self-imposed pressure comes from wanting to make it all work.
Yes.
Wanting to say yes to all the plans, yes to all the holiday parties, wrap up on end of year things that you have to do for work, attend this and that, and still achieve it all. And
yes,
you are only one person and you are doing the best that you can.
Meet yourself where you are and swim downstream with the momentum, not against it upstream. Wow. I love this conversation.
Pressure has so many. We just scratched the surface of, as we always say, there's so many applications of it. This one obviously was more holiday leaning, but there's just so many things that we could talk about and we'll continue to talk about.
We have to. I think, you know, we need to lean into the societal pressures. I'm just thinking of one in particular that we've talked about before, the pressure to breastfeed. Yeah. There's so much here.
Send us voice notes. Let us know where the pressure. But truly, take inventory. Where is the pressure coming from? You never want to hear when other people are like, oh, you're putting that pressure on yourself. Like when people say that to you, there's literally nothing more frustrating. But when you have space to actually reflect and make an active choice to think about these things and not have it pumped to you, it can be really profound.
The reframe question is, where is the pressure coming from? Engage in the compassionate curiosity instead of telling and talking at someone. Just a little nugget to keep
where
in your back pocket.
Where is the pressure coming from? Well, I loved today. I missed you so much. And I can't wait to navigate this season together.
Same.
As always.
Same, same. And as always, I feel like the conversation in and of itself is just such a powerful tool because we're bringing it up to the surface. We're raising the level of consciousness around it. And sometimes that's all it takes. Sometimes you need more. But I hope that this resonated with another listener too, as it relates to figuring out how to navigate it.
That's right. Well, you all know where to find us at the MTake Podcast on Instagram. Let us know what you're feeling pressure on, what is top of mind for you going into the season, and how we can help support you and make things a little bit more visible so that we can all journey it together and end up on New Year's feeling present and feeling like we're ready for daycare to open back up, but also like so happy for everything that transpired over the last 2 months.
Two truths, no lies.
Two truths, no lies. And if you have a little tiny newborn and you're thinking you love your baby more than I do, bite your tongue. Because I tell you right now, there will come a time where you too will be waiting to drop them off at daycare or school after
winter
break.
Don't you worry. Don't you worry. You bet your bottom dollar you're going to be at the door at 6:30 in the morning.
Oh, man. I love you so much.
Love you, girlfriend. Have a great rest of your day.
Bye.
Toodles.
Love you.